This is The Bird Show.
Look, it's just taken us 4 weeks to get to this point. So finally, we were like, look, we got to get some pros in on this. And my friend Jason here is a private investigator. Hey, Jason, what's going on, man?
Good morning, man.
And the name of your private investigating firm?
ICU Security and Private Investigations.
Okay. So I called Jason up on Thursday, and I'm like, dude, you got to help me with something. I don't know if you've been listening to the show or not, but we've got a case here for you, and it's been going on for 4 weeks. Can you sort of help us with it?
And I just have to interrupt for a second and say there's two distinct, a New Yorker and a Southerner, their accents make you more legitimate as a peon. Like, his big Southern accent makes him sound like a badass, and the only other person could be, like, thick New York, and that's it. If you're a PI with a Midwestern accent, you might as well find another job.
That's true.
You're not from around here, are you?
All right, so initially when I call you, are the thoughts that, like, it's got to be, like, a drug deal, it's got to be something, because the guy's showing up at the same time every single day?
Well, that was my first thoughts, too, when I spoke to producer Tracy. I said, you know, is there a creek nearby? Because I figured he may have had some plants or something down there that he was going down to take care of every morning. But she said, no, there's no creek. So,
what people do? They plant drug plants near creeks?
I don't really know. I've just heard.
Okay.
You need a water source. Is what you're saying. You need some water, some shade. You know, if you go on Wikipedia, you find out all about it.
Our mind was going crazy. We didn't know. I mean, we had no idea. Was it a drug deal? We had no idea at all.
Then we started getting nervous that Frankie was putting himself in danger, that he was going to somehow get, like, injured or shot or beat up or something. We were like, okay. We need to bring in the real dogs here. So I'm afraid for Frankie.
So you see why I'm bringing him along.
That's right. Who was your partner?
This is Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Joe doesn't have to say
big
anything.
Joe is just beef, man.
He's one big muscle.
He's like a big slab of walking beef.
Big old boy.
So, all right. So I call you, and then Thursday, or is it Friday morning that you go down there? Because when you see TV shows that have private investigators, it really looks like sort of you get one or two. It's either a really boring job where a guy's sitting in his car and he's eating all night just waiting for something to happen, or the PI's on the run all the time and he's always this close to catching the guy. So when you get there on Thursday morning or Friday morning, set the whole thing up for me.
Well, after I spoke to Frankie and he kind of brought me up to speed on what was going on, and I went out and I told David, my brother-in-law, he was working with me that day, and I told him, I said, I'm going to find out what's in these woods. I said, you know, regardless of what it takes. So I go down and you know, he told me there's a little birdhouse there. I saw this little birdhouse, but I thought that was neat, you know.
They're a little spy camera.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. So
he's like rookies.
I go down and I see the birdhouse, and I go down in the little patch of woods in the ivy. And from the waist up, you really could not see anything out of the ordinary. I mean, everything looked normal, you know, and I thought, okay, you know, there's something down here. So I got on my hands and knees at that point. And when I did that, I saw something that kind of stood out to me. And I thought, you know, this is really, really odd. Surely this is not what the guy's doing. There's no way this is what the guy's doing. So, you know, I kind of got my team together, and I called Joe up and I said, hey, man, we're gonna be here in the morning. And we're going to find out what's going on. So,
So you had your first clue even before you called Joe. You thought, okay, this thing's almost done already.
Yeah, I had my first clue, but I thought it was very odd. You know, I wasn't sold on it at that point that that's what was going on, because I thought, you know, this is just a cover. This is in case he comes down here and someone confronts him, he can say, okay, I'm doing this.
Okay.
You know, so that's what I originally thought it was. I thought it was just a cover.
Hmm.
So when I got my team together, I had Joe and I had Emily. And the way the fence goes down behind the townhomes, and it makes a hard 90 kind of coming back up toward the road, and there's an office building there. So so the next morning, we go down. I drop Joe off with Whitney, and I say, okay, you know, you're the lookout guy. Let me know when he's coming. And then Emily, I had her go around behind the fence on the residential road, because there's a house behind the fence over there. And I wanted to make sure that no one was coming from that house to meet him at that wood line
right.
every morning.
Okay, so you're getting it on both angles now,
that's
both
right.
sides of the fence.
That's right. I wanted Emily to be
surrounding the perimeter with all your staff and
that's
your
right.
team.
Did you use the word double back?
Because she had to, you know, pass that hard 90 to get back over there to the woodline. And...
Well, I had Emily. I told her, I said, if anybody comes or if anyone comes from this residence, starts walking toward that woodline, let me know. And, of course, my job was to go down into the woods and lay on my stomach and just watch to see what the guy did.
All right, stop right there. Frankie, that was really never an option for you, was it?
No.
To get down on your stomach.
No.
Because if you didn't have anybody there, who's going to help you get up?
Yeah, well, really?
No, here's a guy on crutches saying that to you. So. Yeah. I wouldn't take it.
All right, so Frankie never assumed that position. Okay.
My original fear was someone's going to call the cops. Because, I mean, there's an office building adjacent to these townhomes, and I thought, man, they're going to see me going in the woods and see me lay down, and somebody's going to call the cops, and this ain't going to be pretty because, you know, if they come up and they see me laying out in the woods, then, you know, they're probably going to come after me. So mm-hmm. that was my original fear.
And there were the police officers that were there like 2 days before, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, looking in that townhouse community.
Yeah, so I was kind of scared of that, but... Once I got down in the ivy field and I started looking around, and there was a big, huge wood pile, probably about 5 feet tall, I guess, that blocked the view from the residence, from the house behind the fence. It blocked the view to the fence to where this activity was going on. But I got to looking around at the wood pile, and I think I texted you then. I said, man, there's got to be a rattling copper moccasin around here somewhere. I mean, it was just snaky. It was just a real snake.
It just felt like there were snakes around it.
So then I got nervous because of the snakes, man. I thought,
stomping around, taking a stick and hitting the wood.
I thought, man, I'm going to get snake bit down here. But Joe texted me probably, I don't know, 5-10 minutes later and said, hey, man, he's here. So it all went down.
All right, Whitney?
Yeah.
We're about to tell you exactly who this dude is, okay?
Okay.
All right, so at this point now, Jason and ICU Investigations, they have pretty much surrounded the perimeter of the fence and the hole. You got Jason on his stomach in the woods in one area. You've got Joe on the other side of the fence, and you've got another assistant on lookout also, right?
That's right.
Okay. And our mysterious guy pulls up like he does every single day. It must be about 9:40 or so?
That's right.
9:40.
It was about 9:45, 9:50, somewhere along in there.
Okay, so you take it from here, man.
Well, you know, Joe texted me and said he's on his way down, and I could hear footsteps coming toward me, and I guess about 30 seconds after Joe texted me, I looked up, and there was a cat that showed up. And basically what it is that hole that Frankie saw mm-hmm. up under the fence. Up under that hole, there are three bowls. And two of those bowls have cat food. One of them is dry cat food. One of them is canned cat food. And the other bowl is water. And all the guys, all he's doing is he's going down there in the morning, and he's feeding this stray cat.
He really is.
Are you kidding me?
That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
That's You're so serious?
It. I'm dead serious.
Okay, now wait a second. Does the guy belong to the community that he got attached to a cat somewhere along the road?
Well, that's why I wanted to confront him the following day to get his side of the story.
All right, hold on one second here. Frankie, grab a mic at this point.
It was a cat.
All right, Frankie, so you were there. You were down that little path, and you saw the hole. Did you ever bend down and see any bowls there?
No, I didn't.
Did you bend down and see anything?
No, I did not.
You never bent down?
No. I just looked at the hole. I didn't think anything of it. I didn't see what he would. Okay, I'm done.
It's a good foot on the other side of the fence.
Okay.
I mean, when he reaches up under the fence, I mean, it's a good foot or two on the other side, on the back side of the fence, which was one of my questions. You know, why on the back side of the fence?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are you feeding the cat on that side of the fence?
Well, when this came up before when Frankie was doing this investigation about the cats, and one of the things that I said was that there's no way you feed one stray because then the whole horde of strays come because cats talk to their friends. So mm-hmm. I'm shocked that if he's feeding one cat, that is still just the one cat.
Well, and you know, that was a question I had also, but I saw no other cats down there. There was just one cat.
Huh.
I think it was exclusive. between those two.
You wouldn't be cheating on the other cat.
There's a special bond with this cat.
So why is it this? Why is he attached to one cat?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, he answers some questions, you know, in the audio that I don't want to go into because I want you to hear it for yourself.
Okay. But,
he's a cat lover.
Aww.
I mean, he loves cats, and
God bless him.
He's great.
The thing about it, though, is you know, everything that Whitney said was legitimate, mm-hmm. because he was hiding the food. In the audio, you'll hear why.
Okay.
He was hiding the food. So he would get out, and he would put a jacket on, and he would take this food, and he would tuck it up under his arm or put it in his pocket and look around to make sure nobody was looking. And, I mean, he had some very, very odd behavior.
It's suspicious seeming.
Very suspicious behavior.
To feed a cat.
And, you know, even after I saw him feed the cat, I was like, no. No, there's something more to this.
Because you thought it was a cover.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
It was a cover. When, the very first day I was there, and that's what I saw when I bent down, I thought, okay, this is a cover. You know, this is just something that if he gets caught down here doing whatever it is he's doing, he can turn around and say, hey, you know, I was just down here feeding the cat.
Right.
right. But when he fed the cat the following day, I was probably 10 feet from him.
And the cat came up and was there waiting for him.
Well, the cat came up and looked at me like, hey, man, what are you doing here?
Yeah, it's my food. These are my
right.
bowls.
That's right.
So, Whitney, this is a little anticlimactic right here.
It drives me nuts.
But at least it's not something criminal.
Yeah.
Like, we were thinking he was burying a dead body and all this stuff.
Why wouldn't he just adopt the cat and take the cat to his house?
Did you ask any of those questions?
We did, and you can hear it in the audio. He already has several at his townhouse.
So he can't be an animal hoarder.
That's right.
Yeah, he doesn't want to appear weird to anybody. All right, so here's some of the audio. Joe, this is you.
Yeah.
Confronting the cat dude.
Yes. What's going on, man? What you up to?
What's up?
Nothing. What you got going? My name is Joe Robinson. I'm with ICU Security Investigation.
Yeah.
Keep that car.
Sure, man.
What you doing back there, man?
Feeding cats.
Feeding cats?
Yeah.
Oh. You do this every day?
Every day? No. One.
I think you freaked out a few people around here,
You're
man.
Serious?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you park there.
Yeah.
And then you scoot back in the woods every day.
Yeah.
You kind of keep something up under your shirt.
Right here.
And then yesterday you kind of had something tucked up. And it just freaks everybody out, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I won't go back there if they want me to.
No, I don't think that it's... You can or can't, but I just think it just weirded everybody out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, so I won't go back there.
No, I wouldn't worry about it, man.
Side of the story, man. I mean, we just wanted to hear what you had going on. I mean, that's all.
Oh, okay.
Where'd you meet the cat at?
Well, no, you know, he just roams around here.
Yeah.
I'm a big cat lover, so.
How long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it for about a year.
About a year?
Yeah.
Just coming back here and feeding the cat every morning for about a year.
Yeah.
And he's just a stray that just...
Yeah, he stays
awesome,
here.
Man.
He stays here.
He just stays at the complex.
But the complex don't like it.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh,
why,
yeah.
Why? I don't know why they care. It's just a damn cat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't think that they would care.
I mean, if there was 30 of them roaming around here, I can understand.
Are you married or see anybody?
Yeah, I'm married.
Does the cat know you're married?
So he can't. He's like, "What's everybody freaked out about? I'm one guy. I'm here for 5 minutes. It's one cat." So he's putting it like on. Everybody's freaked out over nothing.
Well, he actually said that the association had already said something to him for feeding the cat. They told him that they did not want him feeding strays. So that's why.
That's why he's all sneaky about it every day.
Exactly. That's why he actually lives in the complex.
Oh, he does?
Yes. And that's why he drives up to where he drives to, and then he kind of hides the cat food up under his arms.
So they don't see
pocket.
Him feeding the cat.
Exactly.
Here is his explanation on why he drives every day.
Yeah.
It just seemed odd, man. You were over there.
Right.
And rather than walking, you drove.
Well, you know why? Because there's so many damn nosy neighbors.
Yeah.
That's why. You know how it is in these kind of places. And they...
Mm-hmm.
So I have to be discreet about it.
Yeah.
Can you blame me?
No, I don't, man. And
discreet about things.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to do that.
right, so he drives up because he doesn't want people like Whitney freaking out.
Nosy neighbor woman.
And then in this third piece of audio, this is the guy explaining his coat and why it's so mysterious that he had that coat on that Whitney told us about on day one.
So for a year, every morning, about
the same time, cool, man.
You just come down here and feed him.
Well, see, I usually have my coat and I tuck it under my coat.
Yeah, and see, that's one of the things that we heard is there's usually a coat. You put the coat on when you get out of the car, and then you tuck something in the coat, and then you walk.
I need to get a house.
You need to move to the country, man.
I know what you could do.
What?
If you want to tell my own, I have 7 cats.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, my wife.
You have 7 cats in your
townhome.
Really?
It's a big place, you know.
Right.
But if you want to tell them one of my cats comes down here and I check up on them, I don't care.
That's fine. Ain't nobody gonna mess with you. I promise you that.
There's a bunch of them.
I'm
trying to be a nice person.
Don't worry about it. Keep feeding them. Don't worry about it. Don't change what you're doing, man.
Have an awesome weekend.
All right, guys.
Good to meet you.
All right, guys.
Thank you very, very much, buddy.
So it took us 4 weeks and 3 private investigators to find out that a dude was feeding a cat.
I mean, 7 cats in the house, a little odd, but, you know, it's sweet that he's feeding this cat.
I know, every day for a year.
At least not a dead body. Which didn't make sense for him going back every day.
I know. He is not dealing drugs.
You know, we said this is the case mostly with just, curious, is that you've got it built in your head so much to be something much bigger than it is, and it turns out just to be a cat and
he's
3 bowls.
A cat.
Hey, Tina, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show on Q100. What's going on?
I just wanted to say that he had the answer already. The lady from the real estate, the one on the apartment, said that they were feeding the cats.
Yeah.
And we thought, oh, there's a cover-up. She asked the code because they're both dealing marijuana. I mean,
drugs.
Yeah, I remember that. That's right. Yep. They told us what the answer was, and we just didn't believe it.
No.
But we had this answer 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, I actually saw it, you know, the first day for myself, and I didn't believe it either. And Joe asked him, he said, have you ever tried to catch this cat, you know, to make it your own or something to that effect? And he said, no, you know, this is a wild cat, and he would.
All right, Whitney, so that's it. It really is. It's just a dude behind your townhouse community, and he's feeding cats every single day. That's it.
It's a little disappointing.
Isn't it?
Oh, my God. It is a little disappointing. If there's no criminal activity, then we're not satisfied.
Yeah, it's got to be reassuring, though. You live in a great neighborhood.
Yes.
Yeah, that is good to know.
With sweet people.
Crazy men around here.
Hey, we had an awesome time hanging out with you and your son, too.
Oh, yeah, so
it was fine. That was great.
Thanks a lot, Whitney. Thanks for giving us 4 weeks of material.
Wow.
You're welcome. Sorry.
This is The Burt Show.